It's not ghosts.
Gotcha.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are joined once again by Pat Wick. We start out by talking about parenting atheists, and then we get a little sidetracked.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick, joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hey!
And Nick Glover.
Hi.
We're married.
Yes, it's true. That's why their last names are the same. And speaking of married, our returning guest this week is my wife, Pat Wick. Hi, Pat.
Hi!
Yay, Pat! Hey.
And we're here to talk about parenting and atheism. And I think Pat and I are going to do most of the talking since Nick and Molly aren't planning on being parents.
It's not even so much that we're not planning on being parents. We will not be parents.
That's true.
I can tell you that right now. Planning on makes it sound like if it happens accidentally, I'm going to let that one go through.
Right. All right. Nick and Molly are not going to have children.
Right.
And they're not going to adopt children. They're
correct.
Not going to be foster. They don't want kids.
Nope.
But I still thought it was an interesting topic to talk about. Because I'm sure that there are some people who are listening to us who are parents. And,
indeed.
And as atheists, what do you do as far as religion? I know that my biggest concern as a non-believer and as somebody who really has a problem with indoctrination is I don't want to indoctrinate my children into atheism.
Ah,
I want them to get there themselves rather than me saying, if you believe in God, you're an idiot.
Get them the get there themselves, or ultimately, like, just be happy and generally, like, benign or positive.
Right.
I mean, even if your kids did end up believing in something, you'd
well,
be okay with that if they were. I mean,
obviously, you'd be okay with it, but I mean, like, so what would that? I mean, imagine that world. What would that be like? Like, let's say if Devin, for example, decides that he wants to go to church and he gets really into youth group and stuff. Like, how do you guys handle that kind of thing? Or how would you?
Well, let Pam answer first because she's our guest and stuff. We have talked about it, but
we have. And Tim's mom is Catholic, mm-hmm. and she actually goes to a pretty hippie Catholic church,
mm-hmm.
and she has offered, and we have told our kids that if they ever want to go and do the church experience, that would be an okay place to go because, you know, she would be there to help, and mm-hmm. she's, I think, a really good person.
Oh, for sure.
She's not one of those Bible-thumping, you're evil, going to hell kind of things because that, I find those places just evil.
Yeah. I'm having this interesting like image of, like, you know, Devin making a friend because it's not Alex. I mean, Alex is an atheist. He's decided that for himself, kind of at this point, right?
Oh no, completely.
He's very definitely decided that.
Yeah. So
for
I mean, I'm imagining if let's say Devin, you know, gets to like junior high and he makes a really close friend or hey, a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something, and then you know that person's family is mega religious, and so he goes, you know, the way kids do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So
oh, sure.
Like, and they are the Bible thumping, not the cool hippie kind, but the horrible kind. You know,
they have mentioned things like coming back from school, and I think this is where a little bit of, I mean, they're both very high functioning, but they both have mild Asperger's, and I think where some of the Asperger's does help, because things like, you know, somebody on the bus said, you know, you don't believe in heaven, so therefore you're going to hell, and Alex looked at him and went, you realize that makes no sense, right?
Yes. Asperger's is a good shield against religion. I'll tell you this. It is. I mean, it is.
Sure.
Because they're
extremely ordered thinking.
It's ordered and factual,
yeah.
And it just doesn't work out that way. But there are things that, you know, I'm not worried about my kids, especially Devin, because that would actually require get up and go and oomph for it. Something like, you know, religion where he puts in enough effort to make sure the tooth goes under the pillow for the tooth fairy, and he's positive the tooth fairy exists because there's actual definite proof of it.
Well, there's money. So
there's
that
money.
That always sweetens the deal.
When we had the conversation, you know, somebody at school told him, you know, well, you know, your parents put the money under the pillow, and he came home and he was like, somebody told me that, and I know that's ridiculous because who would pay for a tooth?
See, and I feel like when the when the evidence is going in your favor, like he's getting money out of the deal, you know?
Yeah.
When the evidence is money that you get,
that's
some pretty convincing.
Same with Santa.
Yeah,
and
you
want to. It's exact same.
You want to believe. It's in your best interest to believe because you have tangible rewards for belief.
You stop believing in the Tooth Fairy stops coming. You stop believing in Santa stops coming. I mean, that's just the way that works. Yep. So.
And Alex, he was like 6 when he stopped believing in Santa. I mean, it was
He reasoned it out really quick.
Wow. He reasoned it out really quick.
You hear that, Molly? 6.
Fuck you.
Devin is 9 and still believes in Santa, and I feel like to him, Devin's the belief in Santa is more that he wants Santa to exist because that means he gets toys, and maybe if he doesn't believe in Santa, then he might not get toys.
Well, and if he knows Alex doesn't believe in Santa, that's kind of the death knell at that point. He's the last man standing.
Alex
is very good about it.
He hasn't said anything about not believing.
He hasn't said anything about
it. That's good.
That's good of him.
Actually, it's because he's in on the other side.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it was for us, too. I found out Riley and Madeline were babies, and so it was, and Kevin didn't know, and so my mom was very much like, well, now you get to play, you get to help.
Yeah.
Right. Now you get to stay up late, you get to see everything except for your own stuff, you know, and you get to help. So,
and that's kind of cool, and Alex kind of enjoys that. And so Devin has said that he believes in God, but to me, God right now to him is the same concept as Santa and the Tooth Fairy and the Easter Bunny. Those are still real things to him. And what I've said is that I don't care if he believes in God, and I really don't. Mm-hmm. I don't care if my kid's a theist. But I don't want him to ever think that somebody else can tell him what God thinks.
Ah.
And so, what I always say
that's
is if somebody tells you that they know what God thinks, what they're really telling you is what they think, and they're using God as their excuse.
That's a really good way to put it. I like that a lot because it implies that it's not, because the whole thing is like, it's that whole, when I was 13 or so, and my mom and I, there was this thing that you could, you know, you send away, it was like you can make money stuffing envelopes. And, and if you send them $200, they send you the kit, and then you start making money. My mom said, you know, anytime that you have to pay money to do work for somebody, it's not a real job. If you have to invest, if you have to pay them money for you to start doing their work, that's not a real job. Yep.
Yeah.
A real job wants to pay you to do the work, and that is all. They don't require you to buy anything except for maybe like, you know, uniform pants or something. But, you know, it's not like...
It's not like a major outlay of money.
Yeah, you're not sending them money to get the work. That's one of those things I hope sticks with him. It's those things your parents tell you around this age can stick in your head forever. Yeah.
Yeah, and to me that's more important than, like I say, I don't want to indoctrinate my children into atheism. I don't want them to be atheists because I didn't allow them to make that, to reason that out for themselves.
The term former guest Ron Bauman said was a faith-based atheist.
Ah, sure.
Well, not only a faith-based atheist.
Well, not only that, but you don't want them to... Well, first of all, you don't want them to be indoctrinated at all because then that gives them the setup for allowing someone to tell them what to think ever.
Sure.
In that sense. But also, you don't want them to rebel when they get to be older and be like, duh, dumb dad trying to make me be an atheist. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to go to all these salvation rallies and I'll show him. I'll show them both. You know, I'll show them, my stupid atheist parents. I'm going to marry a Christian girl and we're going to bomb abortion clinics.
That was my grandmother's threat to my mom. When my mom was, cutting my mohawk and dyeing my hair when I was 13, my grandmother's like, well, you've given him nowhere to go. What is he going to do to rebel against you when he's a real teenager? Join the army?
Well, that didn't work out.
Well, but there are things that I think it's more interesting for, like the questions of, what if he's did the religious thing? It's like, I'm not really worried about that.
Yeah.
Because
he's a rational human being.
Because actually true is he's a rational human being and he's not being pushed into that, you still must believe in Santa Claus or you're an evil person thing.
Yeah. It makes me wonder how many kids would be religious at all, or how many people would be religious if there just was no indoctrination, if everyone just kind of figured things out for themselves starting now.
And you couldn't even go to one of those meetings till you were at least 16, 17.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and the thing is, with Santa Claus, Devin will ask me, you know, Daddy, do you think Santa Claus exists? And my answer is always the same. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as he says to me, I really don't think Santa exists, mm-hmm. and gives me his reasons why, I'll be like, okay, you're right. But he still is in the wanting to convince himself that Santa exists. And as long as he convinces mm-hmm. himself, then I'm like, okay, I'll let you do that. And I know that there's some rational, skeptical, atheist parents that have a real problem with that.
Yeah.
But I don't.
I think that, and granted, I'm coming from a childhood of...
Lies.
Fun little lies. But I think that magic, it belongs, you know, you grow out of childhood magic, and you should let your kids experience it for as long as they want to experience it. I mean, forcing it on your daughter, perhaps, because she is trying to use her brain and her rational thinking, and then you make up an elaborate scheme to prevent that from happening and keep her in that twilight of childhood magic years, when she is giving blowjobs seems to be a little bit much, but you know, like allowing them to, if you ask him what does he think and he says, I'm pretty sure he's still real, but I'm gonna run some tests, well then you let him do the tests.
You bet.
You know, mm-hmm. and then you have to decide at that point, like, okay, well, if he says he's gonna test Santa this way, how do you let that go? You know,
do you rig it or not?
Yeah.
That's when you get caught putting presents under the tree.
Yeah, you let yourself get caught.
Yeah. There are options there.
But a bigger thing is how to deal with raising kids who are sensitive to other people in mm-hmm. a very non-secular, I mean, in a very Christian world, especially with the crazy, silly season upon us, where it and the war on Christmas and crap that's out there, which is so absurd, it's hard to begin. But how do you raise somebody who is nice and polite? So it's not the, you know, I don't want my kid to be the flip side of that, still being a dick, of the, you know, as opposed to the kid going up to other kids on the school bus saying, you're going to go to hell.
Right. You don't want to be the atheist version of that.
You want to have the atheist version of that. It's like, you've got to be respectful, and it's to teach the kid, I mean, it's part of teaching any kids how to be good people, but especially faith can be such a sticky situation. Alex was just at a birthday party a couple weeks ago, and I usually don't have to say anything, but when I dropped him off and I met the other child's mom for the first time, and she had this ginormous crucifix necklace on.
Oh.
And she was talking about how she was really careful about which movie that she wanted the kids to go to, because she wasn't sure if it was going to be okay from, you know, the spiritual perspective.
Aren't they 14?
Yeah. And he would be like, you know, this person, I think, in a past life was the let's burn the D&D books, because, oh, who knows, maybe she still is. But she's, you know, going to become a pastor. That's her personal experience.
Boy.
I met her for 5 minutes, and I know all this information.
Yeah.
She's that kind of person.
Yeah.
So I had to very carefully pull Alex quickly to the side. Yes, you had to witness.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to pull Alex quickly to the side and say, you know, hey, Alex, this is one of those situations where you cannot mention it, because it would be considered by that person an attack. Even if all you're doing is stating what you believe, merely, you know, it's trying to describe to somebody why, because it makes no sense. If you tell somebody that, because they can say, I'm a Christian, and they're, you know, and you should
carte blanche. You can't be like, that's super offensive at my birthday party that you would say you're a Christian. Like, yeah. It's,
and then he is like, oh, he's like, Mom, I know. I can't say anything. I know.
And he breaks my heart.
I know, it's hard. He has to deal with that at Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's in Scouts, and granted, the Scout Council in Minnesota is pretty liberal, but they still, you can't talk about being an atheist in Scouts. They'll kick you out.
And that's what, you know, we mentioned in another episode, we were talking about, you know, suppression versus oppression, and how it's not that we're oppressed, but we are completely suppressed, and there's just no outlet for it, and you know,
someone can say they're a Christian, you can say, oh, I'm Jewish, and be like, that's cool, we believe in different things, yay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say, I'm an atheist, then it's, your belief directly contradicts and opposes my belief, therefore, just you believing in or not believing in a God is a threat to my ideology.
Which is stupid, mm-hmm. because if everyone drove Fords and they were like, where's your Ford? And you're like, oh, I have a Chevy. We don't buy Ford. You wouldn't be like, how dare you talk about that at work? Yeah. I would prefer that you just pretended you drove a Ford and didn't ever talk about your Chevy.
Maybe a better analogy would be like I drove a Ford. Well, I drove a Chevy. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, we can talk about cars.
I take a bike.
Fuck you, bicyclists.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with cars? You don't like cars? No, I just don't think that they're the best option.
I don't like one.
My boss at work is Catholic and talks about going to church and, you know, talks about praying and all this stuff all the time. You know what? Whatever, that's her. It doesn't bother me that much. What bugs me a little is the knowledge that I can't talk about what I think when it comes to religion. Not you know.
Have you tried?
No.
You should really try. No. Hold on. I mean, think about it. You should try. Maybe like for the last couple weeks of December, like just talk about it. I think that might be kind of fun. I would like to hear the results of this experiment.
Maybe tuck a tape recorder in your pocket and you know, see what happens.
And that's, you know, that's I think the issue that Alex faces, who's an open atheist, in that there are times where he can't talk about it, and that's puzzling, and it's not fair. Mm-hmm. It's not fair that other kids can go to Boy Scouts and talk about God all they want, and Alex can't talk about the fact that he doesn't believe in God. Well, he has to keep it to himself.
What's interesting too is that, I mean, if you think about it, you've never actually brought up being an atheist around this boss. You're just sure that it wouldn't go over well. And even though it might, and even though the boss might be like, "Oh, that's cool," and not even care, the default that we're all our default is I have to hide it. Because they won't understand. Because so many people who are religious and believers, particularly of the Christian flavor, are so offended by and antagonistic toward atheism. So it's interesting to think about. Like, it could be that she's fine with it.
Yeah.
And you could be like, oh, I'm an atheist. Like, oh, that's cool.
In some countries, you can be of another religion, but being an atheist is a crime.
Or punishable by death. Right. Or in some instances,
for sure. Yeah.
Well, in any country with Sharia law, if you're born a Muslim, you can't stop being a Muslim.
Yeah. It's the same thing. It's the same thing in the difference between the Jewish religion and Jewish, like, culture and heritage. You know, it's like, if you, like, well, was your mother, you know, was your mother Jewish? Well, then you're Jewish. It's like, well, no, I'm not. I'm an atheist. No. You're Jewish because your mother was Jewish. So, you know, it's interesting. There's that, and I think with Muslims too, there's the heritage versus the religion, which we don't really have as much here.
Yeah.
I heard a thing on NPR in the past week. They've been every few days doing this thing about the present generation and the old generation, how they differ in terms of religious belief. And there was that day they happened to be talking to young Muslims, and this one young woman was in college and wanted to marry an atheist guy. And her father was like, you have to marry a Muslim, you have to marry a Muslim. And she's like, well, I'm marrying this guy, and he doesn't believe in anything, and that's what's happening. And the dad was, like, trying to be cool about it and trying to be supportive. And so he did tons and tons of research and said, well, I think that in this instance, the definition of a Muslim is someone who believes in a power bigger than themselves. And she's like, he's not spiritual. He doesn't believe in anything like that. She goes, well, does he believe in gravity? Does he think that gravity's bigger than him? More a stronger force than he is? She's like, she asks him, he's like, yeah, sure, I suppose.
Yeah.
He goes, all right then, he's a Muslim.
Oh, jeez.
And that's how he was able to justify their marriage.
0.001, we'll round it up to one.
Yep, so exactly.
At Alex's school and Devin's school too, because did they go to the same school still or not anymore?
No.
Yeah.
They're 5 years apart. They went to the same school for 1 year.
Yeah. Do they have kids that are religions other than Christianity? Are there Jewish and Muslim kids? Are there Buddhist kids?
Absolutely. Especially now, the schools are they're an integration school, so, I think they said something like 93 different primary languages are spoken in the school system.
What? That's
but
crazy.
I mean, remember, these are public schools, so there's not supposed to be any religion.
Sure, but the kids obviously talk about it. I mean, if a kid on the bus told me he's going to go to hell if he doesn't go to heaven, then, I mean, kids talk about all kinds of stuff they're not supposed to talk about in school, but I'm just curious if he's had any exposure to any of that.
Absolutely. And what I think is fabulous about how Minnesota's changing in many ways is when I was a kid, there was, I think, like 4 black kids in the whole school. Everyone else was white and Protestant or Catholic, and they were pretty much divided. But it was a gimme. there, you know, it's like there might have been a Jewish kid, but they never said anything, mm-hmm. and there certainly wasn't anything out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you, it's like you're, at least from my perspective, in the school I went to, if your grandparents didn't speak English as a primary language, you know, that was unusual.
Yeah,
because they'd been here around for so long.
Yeah.
You know, it's German, Lutheran, or Irish Catholic. That was kind of the thing.
Yeah.
Or Norwegian. Don't forget. Right. Sorry, I'm mostly Norwegian.
Norwegian, Lutheran.
Scandinavian.
Yeah, Scandinavian.
Right.
And so the fact that he sees, you know, some of these kids that are Muslim are wearing headscarves.
Mm-hmm.
And some are wearing headscarves with, you know, full, you know, all the way down almost mm-hmm. to their knees. And some are wearing, you know, jeans and a long sleeve t-shirt with a headscarf.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there's this range of other religions and other cultures, which, yes, I would prefer if nobody chose to wear a headscarf, especially you don't choose as a junior high or elementary mm-hmm. school kid. But since they can at least see the different cultures, that it's at least more open to have something as an other.
It's the exposure to diversity.
Yes.
Sure. Do they have a dress code, or are they allowed to wear pretty much whatever they want?
This school allows whatever you want to wear.
So could a kid wear a t-shirt with, like, Bible verse on it, or, like, something really religious? Or could Alex wear an American Atheist's t-shirt, since they allow headscarves?
I can't imagine that he would not be allowed to wear that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he wouldn't, mostly because then he'd have to stop wearing his Mario shirts.
I went to public school, and, I mean, I know I wore, like, Bad Religion band t-shirts, which the band symbol is a cross with a circle slash through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know lots of other kids wore, like, you know, church camp t-shirts with Bible quotes and stuff on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's personal expression. That's generally pretty cool in public schools, as long as it's not vulgar. Like, you couldn't wear a shirt that said, "Fuck God." That wouldn't be okay.
Jesus was a faggot.
Right.
Yeah, that's usually...
Right.
Speaking of which, please visit my cafe press store. Jesus was a faggot. Cafe press. That would be an amazing shirt. Just double down on offensiveness.
Well, Molly, he did say it. Love your fellow man.
Right?
Yeah. He did.
Yeah. He meant
that's what he meant, clearly.
Yeah.
Timmy, back me up.
Good one. Don't encourage him.
Oh, man. So, we got to get to the five questions because Pat is a former guest, which means she gets to ask us five questions.
Oh, yeah,
so,
right.
Well, I think we could spend a bit more time talking about raising kids. I think we want to get our friend Wendy, who's taken her daughter to she's decided that she's an atheist, and she's taking her kid to a Unitarian church because her husband is not.
Yeah, you guys are you're lucky that you're on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've read a lot of Reddit threads from people who are getting divorced because of that.
And I would say that if Devin said he wanted to go to church, I would probably start taking him to a Unitarian
Oh, for
church.
Sure. That's where you go if you don't want your kid to actually be religious.
Yeah. at least so he's got a broader idea of what religion means.
Well, my mom, one of the reasons she primarily took us to a Unitarian church was for social exposure after moving outside of school. Like, more community-based.
Friendly to your gay mom, too.
Yeah,
like, so
no,
you're
absolutely
not going to have a bunch of kids who are like...
Yeah, we don't have to worry about... Anyone objections? So
questions. So anyway, five
hit
questions.
Us.
Pat gets to hit us with five questions. What's your question number one?
My first one is, what time or what character were you really upset with how the media depicted an atheist character acting very non-atheist?
Mm.
I'm going to go with kind of a generic thing that it's always bugged me when I've watched Bones, because they've got the Bones character who is clearly an atheist. And they've got...
Outspoken.
And they've got the other character that's clearly a Catholic.
Outspoken mm-hmm. as well.
And they have these constant conversations. And what inevitably happens is that the David Boreanaz character says something to... Booth says, after this thing happened, doesn't that make you think? And she kind of pauses and she doesn't say anything. And it's like... always the Catholic character gets the point in, even though Bones may never say, "Oh yeah, that makes me think." She doesn't say, "No, that's stupid."
She never turns and goes, "Where's your God now?" after some kid gets murdered, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
She can rub it in her face. She can't.
Yeah.
She has to be the bigger, and that bugs me because it's been written that way through the entire length of the series, and it ticks me off.
I've got one. Okay. So in the show Community, the hippie passive resistance, kind of super flaky pot smoking, ultra liberal Britta Perry, is an atheist, and she also believes in like natural, you know, cures and crystals and homeopathy and shit like that, where it's like, she's you know, adamant about no existence of God, yet she believes in all this other nonsense, and it's like, she's not very skeptical. She's an atheist. She's like zero skeptic, and it bothers me that like she's an atheist representation, because because she's flaky as shit. I mean, she's the butt of everyone's jokes in the show most of the time.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, even though, I mean, probably one of the other main characters in the show, Jeff Winger, is probably also atheist, but
probably Abed too, honestly.
Yeah, well, yeah. And but it's just that she's the only one it comes up for, and she's not a super great example.
Hmm.
For me, I would say we stopped watching it, but Kurt Hummel on Glee. Kurt Hummel on Glee. The episode where his dad had the heart attack and was possibly going to die. And what bothered me about that, he specifically did that, I felt was out of character for an atheist, or at least it was not how we should be told atheists should act. Was the black girl's name I can't remember, and her other Christy friend or whatever, the Christians were coming in, and they're like, Kurt, we know you don't believe in God, but we just wanted to like pray and sing a hymn over your father to give you comfort. And his response is like, well, you're right, I don't believe, but it would be nice just to have, you know, like comfort, and I appreciate the gesture of comfort. And what I wanted him to say was, no, if you love me and you care about me as a friend, you will find a way to comfort me and my father's, you know, like, in this hospital room without bringing God into it.
Right. And he's an atheist and he's gay. They may as well just say, like, Kurt, we know that you're gay and you're not attracted by women, but she's going to blow you to make you feel better about your father.
And they wouldn't do that either.
They wouldn't do that.
And also, like, it's I don't know, that really bothered me, because I felt like that it would have been a really great time for him to say basically that, like, I appreciate what you guys are trying to do, but if you really care about me and this is my time here, I shouldn't have to sit politely with a frozen smile while you sing about Jesus.
That's more for their
benefit than
his
benefit.
Exactly, and it's
hollow
just,
to say that's for him.
If you think about all your point, especially Tim, this is just, it's the media reinforcing that how we as atheists should act is tolerant of the religious and letting them just do their thing, because what harm does it do? But we never
and
get to say,
and we have to tolerate their intolerance of us.
We never get to say, like, fuck you, or where's your God now, or doesn't that make you wonder if God exists when you see something
because
like
if
that?
We do
little
that,
boy raped to death.
If we do that, we're assholes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so on the next one, kind of a, let's see. I have like 10 things here and I've got to choose. So let's see. How about favorite ethnic food that's not Italian? Because that's not really ethnic anymore.
That's just my dad.
Racist.
That's so good.
So if you're like going out to something, it's like, what is your favorite ethnic food?
Thai.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. I'm a big fan of Thai, especially their curries.
I really like Argentinian food. Specifically, also, Argentinian and Brazilian are very similar. I really like churrascaria. I like Brazilian steakhouses like Fogo de Chão, and I really like Argentina has this thing they do where they hollow out like a half of a loaf of French bread, and then you just pour this mixture of like spicy meat and vegetables and sauce into it, and then you eat it, kind of like trenchers in Game of Thrones. But I very very much like Brazilian and Argentinian food.
Fair.
All right. What book are you most looking forward to reading that you haven't already read before?
Jeez, that's odd.
The cop-out, the easy answer would be the next Game of Thrones book.
For sure.
So that's easy, yeah.
I'm going to go with the next Kingkiller trilogy, which I think is supposed to be the final one. The next Patrick Rothfuss book.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's called.
But
the one that comes after The Wise Man's Fear, so the third one. Whether or not that's the last one. He called it the Kingkiller trilogy, or did he say Chronicles?
I don't
remember which one he said. If he said trilogy, he's dumb. He should have just left it open.
Well, see, that's the thing. It can be a trilogy, and then the story
another
can,
trilogy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Margaret Weiss and Tracy Hickman style.
See, this is the worst question for me, because Pat knows I don't read books.
Yeah, Tim's illiterate.
He ain't got time to read.
I ain't got time to read.
Well, that's not true. You read all the time. You just read nonfiction.
Well, sure. What I tend to do is just grab a book from... Every time I go to Half Price Books, I go to, like, the science section. I grab a science book. I'm like, oh, this looks interesting. So I guess, you know, I've got a book about evolution. And I can't even remember the name of it. But right now I'm reading God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens, which, by the way, is an awesome book.
Yeah.
Because he's a great writer. And then I've got a book about evolution.
Men aren't funny.
Yeah, men aren't funny.
Nice. You could say the posthumous posthumous biography of someone you didn't like. That there's your book you're looking forward
to.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm looking forward to whatever the next book is on my shelf, but I can't remember the name of it. So it's about evolution. There you go.
Neat.
That's a good title. Yeah.
Actually, considering what she said, I will go for this one. Your favorite stand-up comic. Or a humorous author.
Favorite comedian.
Comedian, yes.
I really like Kyle Kinane right now. He's got an album called Whiskey Icarus, which there's a great story behind that title that he tells in the album. He's also the voice of Comedy Central. So if you're ever like, up next, Brickleberry, like that's Kyle Kinane. He's like a... He's like a grizzly dude with a beard. He's kind of rough. I imagine him sitting around his house and like his boxers like... scratching himself and eating bad food all the time, like.
So a mirror, right?
Yeah, he's my kind of guy. I don't know. He's pretty fucking funny. He was on Chris Hardwick's show at midnight recently, and he did improv games with them, and he was on the spot.
He was really
funny.
Yeah.
So it's not just scripted with time funny. He's on the spot funny. So that's admirable.
All right.
Oh, Pat's looking at me like I haven't answered this question,
too. I can go if you don't
have
an answer.
You go.
Okay, I'm going to go with Bo Burnham, because and I know he hasn't done... he does little things here and there recently, but I am so looking forward to his next album/stand-up special. He does... His first thing that he did, he was 19, and it was some of the funniest, amazing wordplay.
He started on YouTube. That's where
some of the best wordplay I've ever heard in my whole life. He has... Okay, here's some examples. I fucked a girl in an apple orchard, and then I came inside her. Let's see what else.
I had sex with a fat girl in an elevator. It was wrong on so many levels.
Yeah. My dick is full of helium. It'll fuck you up.
Yeah,
just things like that, and even more clever than that without profanity.
Yeah.
It's just
wordplay.
He has a song that the chorus is, "I hate catchy choruses, and I'm a hypocrite," and it's very catchy. And he's great. We'll post some videos on the show notes because you guys got to see him if you haven't seen him.
You should follow him on Vine.
Yeah.
His vines that he posts are very, very clever.
Fantastic.
A toast to continuity errors. And he lifts up a can of Coke, and then he comes back down with a can of Sprite.
Oh,
and he ends up drinking. Yeah.
That's clever. So, you know, it's, again, this is hard for me. I think probably if I think about it, the comedian that I most enjoyed when I had more time to watch comics was Stephen Wright, because I just love his deadpan.
Yeah.
He's like, There's nothing in his delivery that tells you it's time to laugh. You just got to write really fucking funny jokes.
Yeah.
And I admire that. That he just is a great writer, and found a way to present his stuff in a really clever and interesting way.
So. I'm gonna throw a shout out just real quick to Kate McKinnon on SNL, who is currently my comedy girl crush, and is one of the best parts of SNL along
She's
with
got
Cecily
the crazy
Strong.
Eyes.
The women on SNL right now are amazing. They're really killing it.
So. Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah. I'll say, I guess actually I should also mention Tina Fey, because I think Tina Fey is a
I
admire
unstoppable force of comedy.
She's Midas.
I admire writers a lot. I mean, I love comedians, but I love people that write comedy. So the other shout-out I'll give is to Joseph Scrimshaw, because his Flaw Fest show was hilarious. So.
Hey, Tim, you got something brown on your nose there.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, it looked like his hand was wrapped around Joseph Scrimshaw's dick.
Yeah, it was.
But yours is subtler.
Hey, you know, his new CD has a song written by my band on it. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but his new CD also has my name read on the...
There's like 500 names read on that
thing.
Yeah,
but mine is the one that's Molly Loves the Cock Glover. I think that's what it says. I don't remember if that's... No,
Apropos.
That was apropos. I don't remember what I said for Joseph. I'll have to look it up.
You can listen to it because you can download it now.
The last thing I thought of was, what's the best experience you've had that's come out of the Geeks Without God podcast?
Huh. Ooh, that's a good question. That's awesome. You know, the way we're just sitting here going, oh, that was... So, recent story of my friend Wendy, who is started taking her daughter to a Unitarian church, and they had, you know, they went there the first weekend, and there was like a meet, everybody who's new, and you talk about your religious background, and Wendy said, I'm an atheist. And after everybody introduced themselves, somebody came up to her and she said, I'm an atheist too. You know, isn't it great that we have this place where you can come and have this group gathering and you can still be an atheist? And Wendy's like, yeah, it's great. And they started talking about, Wendy started talking about Geeks Without God being one of the things that really got her interested in being an atheist. And the other person was like, I listen to Geeks Without God too. I love that podcast. I'm like, sweet. It's like somewhere where I'm not even there and somebody's talking about our podcast.
Yeah,
and that was kind of cool. So
that's there are a few times working at the Renaissance Festival this past season where someone would come up after like a vilification tennis show and be like, I really love, you know, your podcast, I love listening to Geeks Without God, or even if it's just like, you know, oh, your theme song's so fucking catchy.
Yeah.
It's incredibly flattering, and I love that.
Mine's going to be a similar thing because, I mean, I just, not to be all like, oh, we're so great, but when I was running that zombie 5K, and my sister, because her last name starts with C, got to go in a line that was all of 10 people long, and because my last name starts with G, I was in a line that was about 60 people long. So I was waiting in line for a long time, and there was a woman who was doing wristbands, checking your ID so you could get a wristband for a beer later, and I was talking to a gentleman next to me, just making conversation like you do, and all of a sudden she comes up to me and says, Molly? And I looked down because I couldn't remember if I had my name on me anywhere, because sometimes on races you do, and I looked all around and I was like, yeah? That's weird. And she's like, I listen to your podcast. I recognize your voice. Because I get that a lot because my voice is really distinctive. And that was probably the weirdest thing that's ever, I mean, that's happened before a race. I just was like, all right. And since I'm so stupid and awkward, my response was like, cool. I'm going to go back in line. Like, I just didn't know what to say.
I had something like that happen at GameStop for Ville. I was, you know, game store, bringing some shit in to sell, pick up a few new games. I was browsing through, just minding my own business. Like, the place is dead empty. And all of a sudden, I just hear, is it a beefcake? I was like, what? And yeah, someone recognized me from doing vilification tennis and then had compliments to say Molly and I.
But it's always awkward.
It is a little awkward.
It is a little...
You're like, well, I really appreciate the compliment, and now I don't know how to be...
Yeah, we've identified me as a person.
Yeah. The other thing that's just cool is that there are a lot of people that I want to have as guests on the podcast that ask us to be guests on the podcast.
That's cool.
I like how many people have come out to me as an atheist, and maybe they weren't out just to have people come up and say, hey, just so you know, I like your podcast a lot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, cool, all right. Like, and just having that like letting people feel like I'm a safe space.
Secret handshake.
You know, kind of, yeah. It's cool.
This last weekend at Ville, there was a guy who came. I'd met his girlfriend before, and she told me he was kind of a super geeky for our podcast and kind of nervous about meeting us, and she actually brought him up to meet me after the show, and he was like, oh, yeah, I finally get to meet you. It's so awesome.
Was that on Saturday?
Yeah, that was awesome. No, it was on Friday. But he likes me better than you guys, I guess.
You didn't even bring us over.
You guys were over on stage.
Wow,
he was leaving. Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
I see how it is.
I was like, do you want to meet Nick and Molly? He's like, no.
Oh, my God. If you're listening right now, and I bet you are, sir, I would like you to write in and tell Tim how wrong he is.
Actually, what he said is, no, I'm too intimidated to meet those two. They are so funny. I felt much safer approaching Tim.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, I think we've got to be getting finished, don't we?
Yeah, okay.
I'm done.
So, Pat, thank you for joining us again.
Hey, nice to
good questions,
you.
Pat.
Those were good and thoughtful questions. We, of course, have been Geeks Without God. We hope you check out our website and our Twitter feed and all that other great stuff.
Do it.
Thanks for joining us. We will catch you next time.
Bye.
Be seeing you.
Bye.
Squirrel!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
You can open that other water if you want.